We'll do more singing later, not confused.
You did quite well. That was wonderful. Now, I have the opportunity to announce our speaker tonight. And I've known him for many years, and he is a true Irishman, full of vim and vigor. He thinks so well. He really is interesting. He's one of the brightest people I've known. And he has a sense of humor that is unequaled to anybody else. But with this gentleman, you have to really listen, because his humor is kind of sly and sneaky. And if you're really listening, he just cracks you up. And you wonder, how did he do that? So listen to him closely if he's in a humorous mode, and you will have the best time listening to him. And it's my profound pleasure to introduce Dennis O'Donnell. Give him a big hand.
That was there's so much to comment on there. I'm not sure, but Gina, I think it was last week, I mentioned to her that I was going to go to Ireland in April.
To go to where?
Ireland. Yeah. And that I, somewhere recently, last Christmas, I found out that my family, O'Donnell, apparently, not because I particularly like it. I wish it was different, but apparently I'm from Northern Ireland, and I don't know what that means, but Gina said, oh, that explains it. So I don't know. Is that the vim and vigor, vinegar? What did you call me?
Vim and vigor.
Vigor.
Anyway. It's the English of living in Ireland.
Ah. Oh, is that?
Not all the language.
Yeah. What?
My husband was Irish.
I have some cousins that live up there, too.
Okay, well, thanks for coming, everybody. And I don't know if I'm going to be particularly funny tonight or not. Oh, the other thing is, nobody but Patty gets my sense of humor, and I forget to smile, so you don't know if it's a joke or if it's supposed to be funny or not. And so most people...
Okay. All right.
Oh, good.
I'm Irish, too.
Irish people get it.
All right. Well, good. Well, everybody's got a little Irish in them somewhere.
Yep.
So I was asked to talk, and that was nice. I haven't talked for quite a little while. I was kind of floundering, looking for the topic, you know. So I was reading a magazine that comes out every month called The Troubadour, which has like all of or a lot of the Americana and the folk musician acts and shows and things that are happening in San Diego. And there was one article in there that was unrelated to music at all, completely. But it touched on the concept of gratitude. And then I thought to myself, wait a second. A couple of years ago, I wrote a whole yoga class on gratitude and did a lot of research on gratitude. And then it's Thanksgiving time. It seemed like, oh, yeah, gratitude, one of my weakest areas in life. Maybe I should talk about that. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to try to not be so ponderous, but that's the way I am. So we'll kind of get through it. So I was doing some research a while back, and I ran into this Buddhist article. I think I have it with me, and I'll read some quotes out of it later. But it said that if you're only going to do one spiritual practice, if you do gratitude as your spiritual practice, you'll get the biggest bang for your buck. I mean, you'll get the most spiritual rewards and response and upliftment and consciousness and openness to, you know, spirit out of all of the other spiritual practices that you might do. And I'm going to take him at his word, because Yogi Bhajan, who's the man who taught Kundalini Yoga to America that I learned and teach, maintain the same respect for and encouragement to practice gratitude. So that's kind of nice. We don't have to, beat ourselves. Like, I was raised Lutheran. That's what we, And Catholics kind of have a harder approach. Native American Indians, they have one of the most hardest. I mean, they attach themselves to a tree and they do a sun dance for 3 days and dance until they reach a state that they can just kind of like not feel the pain. And, anyway, that's a whole other topic. Okay. So you mentioned there's lots of things. It's a heavy time of year. And it's a heavy time of political reality, and it's a heavy time of, I don't know. I have a lot of friends that are getting older that are on the precipice of, let's say, staring transition in the face. And I do have one friend, Terry. An esteemed friend of mine in North County who just kind of came down 2 weeks ago, went to the hospital, and he's just riddled with cancer. So hold my friend Terry in mind. But gratitude. I'm going to kind of look at some different traditions as far as how they look at gratitude and talk about it. And it's all one truth, as you know. Some quotes. And I'm going to try to bring a special attention to how gratitude is reflected and fits into and is encouraged and supported by the religion of spiritualism. That's what we do here. And everybody here knows about spiritualism, right? And everybody is, and you guys are pretty good with spiritism or Kardec, or you guys know. So I came to this church 30 years ago, and I was really impressed with Millie, Reverend Millie, because she had a way of being pretty upbeat and positive and seeing only the good in everything, really, and specifically me too. She has the ability, still has the ability, to see everybody as a flower in her garden. And, the biggest delight she has is to run up to, a new person and hold their hand. And next thing you know, she's just having a good time with you. And you're usually having a good time with her. And her sense of gratitude for the opportunity to run around and hold people's hands and live life. Every day, it doesn't matter where she is, she runs around and finds somebody's hand to hold and somebody to start reading for, and she oogles at little kids and she compliments people, and she just has a lot of gratitude all the time. Even now, where she's kind of coming to the end of her, walk on earth, I'm not saying that she's going to pass anytime soon, but one thing for sure, she's not going to be walking very much more, a whole lot. So, she's really like everybody. She's kind of a little bit, this is a little bit hard to handle and hard to face, but she still maintains the, I don't know how she does it, She still loves life and wants to live another 10 years. And even though everything hurts, everything's falling apart, she falls down a lot, she's feeling like she's losing control, all those things that happen, she's still grateful. Still grateful. I need to learn how to do that. I thought, that person there seems to have an ability to live life that I really need to learn. So that's one of the many reasons why I started to come to the church and why I've stayed all these years. So let me read a little bit of some quotes. The yogi Bhajan man that teaches this yoga that I do, he says, the person who develops an attitude of gratitude is absolutely divine. And I kind of think that that fits Millie and many of the ministers here, many of the people in this church. Pretty divine, real true-hearted, real truly spirit-inspired examples of the best of humanity. Not to say they're not people, of course. There's that underside, but sometimes, but anyway. He also said, if you feel just one thing in your life, it should be that life is nothing but the gift of God, that you are divine and the most courageous person. Try it as a thought. The moment you feel life is a gift, you'll become prosperous. And then the last one of Yogi Bhajan's that I'll read. The attitude of gratitude is the highest way of living and is the biggest truth, the highest truth. You cannot live with applied consciousness until you understand that you have to be grateful for what you have. If you are grateful for what you have, then Mother Nature will give you more. So gratitude works for that particular yogi. So there's the Hindu perspective. Okay. The Buddhist perspective. Let me give you a little bit more. Gratitude is the sweetest of all the practices for living the Dharma in daily life and the most easily cultivated, requiring the least sacrifice for what is gained in return. It is a very powerful form of mindfulness practice, particularly for students who have depressive or self-defeating feelings. That would be me. And those with a reactive personality who habitually notice everything that's wrong in a situation. Well, I'm making a little progress on that. Not always do I do that. But if you're ever doubting or wondering what the problem is with the situation, ask me. I'll let you know. That's a joke. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, let me see. What else did I write? How much time do I have? Buzz me when it's time to, the 5-minute buzzer. So, one of the things about spiritualism, it gives you a direct experience. Buddhist, he talked about the direct experience of the interconnectedness of all life. And spiritualism also, when you practice spiritualism and you, especially if you do, some circles, but if you're just around a while and you come and you watch the readings and things, you understand that there's a direct experience of the permanence of life, the immortality of life. Like, you go and you're still yourself. The essence of your being doesn't go away. There isn't any death. You get an awareness that you're not alone, that you're not down here completely bereft of, cosmic support. You're aware that you have helpers. And perhaps the first thing you notice is you have a direct experience of a feeling of the presence of spirit. And if you wander around kind of half numb and depressed, let's say, as I do most of the time, when the presence of spirit comes on you, it's kind of like a big change, and you're really noticing. It's like, wow, this is a nice feeling. I could encourage more of this feeling. I should hang around people that carry around this kind of feeling more often. So, how to practice gratitude as a daily spiritual practice, or as the Buddhists would put it, mindful cultivation of gratitude. So, let me wander through some things, and you guys can remind me of stuff, because there's a million ways of doing it. Remind me of things that I don't think of. But, you know, that concept of counting your blessings, reflecting on the series of fortunate circumstances that you have in your life or that the world has. There's a crazy wisdom clown named Rob Bresny who wrote a book called Pronoia. And the book is all about all the good things that are going right and how the universe exists to do nothing but support him and you in having a good time, expanding, growing, living, loving. That even though all we kind of tend to see is what's going wrong, if you really look at it, it's like, you know, exponentially better than it was even, you know, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago for sure. I mean, we got clean water. It's nice when you're driving down the road and you realize, you know, on a long trip that 100 years ago you would have said goodbye to everybody you knew and you didn't know if you were ever going to see them again. And here we are riding down, going wherever we want, coming back. So I just mentioned him because he's really, really good with crazy wisdom. And I love crazy wisdom. He writes an astrology column called Free Will Astrology. You might see that. All right. Okay, anyway. Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini Yoga, they taught and talk about, you know, if yoga is not done with devotion, it's not yoga. And if you live your life with devotion, you can't have commotion. And, you know, all that commotion stuff that, you know, we oftentimes go to yoga for or come to spiritualism for or seek out any other kind of, help. The fears that we all kind of as humans have in our finite experience. We kind of all have that anxiety and, you know, the fight, flight, withdraw, run, you know, and all the problems that the commotion of life, if we don't actively do something to kind of like put it in perspective, actively do something like, let's say, do things that will remind us of our infinite nature and our infinite connection to counteract or keep a balance in, yes, we have the finite reality, but there's also an infinite reality. In fact, yoga is kind of like, the idea is the union of those two realities and becoming aware of them. So, there's a tool that really works good and helps me with this. It's neutral mind. So there's these three minds, positive mind, negative mind, neutral mind. And negative mind, you know, we think of it's bad, okay, well, no, it's good. I mean, you need negative mind. You need to be able to analyze and evaluate, and you need to know whether somebody's taking advantage of you or whether or not you're getting a good value for your dollar. Or you need to be able to, you know, okay, budget and plan, all that kind of stuff. A lot of it comes from how am I going to maintain control? And then you have positive mind. Everybody loves positive mind. That's where you have your hopes and dreams and fantasies and plans for the future. And there's a lot of good stuff in the positive mind. And it's a nice place to be. Not necessarily a great place to live all the time. The neutral mind space is that space of mindfulness. That space where you're aware of everything and attached to none of it. It comes and it goes. And you're aware of it, but you realize most of it all, it's like the weather. It's going to change. Don't get hung up on really any of it. It's that space where you can kind of like rest in the stillness and the quiet. It's actually that space that is kind of like the prerequisite space to get to a higher consciousness and enlightenment, and that's the space you kind of need to go to when you want to kind of get, for a spiritualist, for me at least, a message or a vision, or, you know, I need to stop my mind, I need to stop futurizing, I need to stop evaluating, and I just need to open my mind. That's the beauty of neutral mind. And we kind of learn, if you can live in that space all the time until you need to actually use your negative mind and do some evaluating, or use your positive mind in order to kind of like envision something, you know, then great, use those minds. But yeah, if you're in neutral mind, it's a whole lot easier to be in gratitude. I mean, when you're running around being judgmental and evaluating, and it's a little bit easier to be, I don't know, these people are out to get me, and be paranoid and feed all those fears. Positive mind, negative mind, you know, you're worried about not getting what you want or losing what you have, losing control. Oh, I hate that. You know, and that can kind of keep you closed off from being open to spirit and to feeling good. Okay, how am I doing?
Good.
Okay.
About 10 more minutes.
Okay, all right, let's see. Shouldn't take that long. Okay, so you've all heard that concept of life living you rather than you living life. You know, and it comes back again to that idea of control. You know, I'm living my life, and I've got the 5-year plan, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm going to and how much money I'm going to have when I retire, so that I can, and that's, and you can do that. You know, you can live your life, but ultimately, in reality, when you get to the point where, you know, where you're maybe not walking so much anymore, let's say, you end up kind of realizing that maybe life is living you, and you're, you know, your ability to, you know, welcome that experience largely determines how much fun you have during the process. Does that make sense? Okay. It's all pretty basic, boring stuff. You all know this, right? Yeah. I'm sorry to be reminding you of stuff you already know. But I needed to be reminded of it. Sorry. Okay. So nice thing about that idea about life living you, it kind of puts you in a right relationship. Almost. A right relationship with the Creator. And, you know, it requires a little bit of humility. Humility is another talk. Okay. You know that story about, I don't know, the guy's running from a bear or something, and he runs over the cliff, and he falls down the cliff, and he grabs hold of a twig hanging from the cliff, and he's there, and he's kind of like got a problem. It's a long ways down, but I think it's a Zen story. But there's a strawberry plant with a big flat strawberry kind of like right there while he's hanging. And you know what he does? He just stops and lives in the moment, and he takes that strawberry, and he really enjoys it. Really enjoys it. You know, I mean, life is living him, and it gave him a strawberry. And, you know, when life is living you, it kind of opens up the room for you to relax and pluck the strawberry and be grateful for all that's coming and all that's not coming, and how it will be. And that then allows for the biggest wonderful topic, and I don't know how to explain it at all, grace. I love this grace of God thing. How God does for me what I can't do for myself. And there's a lot I can't do for myself, and I'm pretty much just dependent upon, okay, God, I'm going to be real interested to see how you get me out of this time. How are you going to pull a rabbit out of your hat and save me this time? The grace of God is what we find out in spiritualism, that a lot of the heavy emotional baggage and heartache and the things we have trouble forgiving and the awareness that a whole lot of people they don't get us and they don't, you know, and they've offended us or we've offended them and we're guilty. All that stuff in the spirit world becomes moot because there's nothing in the spirit world but, oh yeah, I understand now kind of what happened and how I was and I'm sorry and I want to make it up to you and I love you. And we on this side begin to understand that they love us and did the best they could and our hearts soften and we're able to open up to love and be grateful for the good parts. Even with my mom. That's kind of half a joke. All right. 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let me stop talking and read one more thing here that touches on that grace concept because, yeah. When you are in a deep state of gratitude, you will often spontaneously feel the presence of grace. The grace in receiving a human life is that it grants you the capacity to experience that which is beyond the mind and body. Call it God, emptiness, Brahman, Allah, or the ground of the Absolute. But I like that concept of spontaneously feeling the presence of grace. You know, and being able to, you know, feel something that you can't see oftentimes is kind of like, you know, we call that, you know, the spirit of something when you can't really see it, but you know it's there. And sometimes, you know, oftentimes it is a spirit. Or in psychometry, we can hold an object and get a message. The object itself, you know, I'm not sure that I want to say that it has the sentient, you know, entity of a spirit angel in the object, but there's some kind of a spirit that the object has with it. A presence, let's say, that allows us to get a message. So, the last thing I'd like to try to talk about then is let me just mention spiritualism just a little bit more. Having a direct experience is so important. You know, in the old days, the Piscean Age, somebody would tell us that, oh yeah, life is immortal. Somebody would read the Bible and tell us what it means. We didn't really get a chance oftentimes to have an experience of our own. And now in the Aquarian Age, if you know, it's all about I want to have the experience myself. I don't want somebody to tell me so much. Like, who wants to listen to me talk about all this stuff? I want to go out and live it. Having that personal experience allows you to feel and know that you're connected to life, that to know that you know, rather than just kind of like, oh yeah, I was told, you know, and I can believe that on faith. The knowing that you know allows you to go forth and have gratitude for even the things that you can't see, like you know the storm is going to end and it's going to get better. You can have gratitude for the fact that you're living life, even though you're slogging through it like really hard right now, even though everything seems to be going wrong. You can still reach inside and like, oh yeah, I had the experience of the presence of God, and I had the experience and am open to and can have the experience of Spirit speaking to me and impressing upon my heart insights and wisdom, or what we call in yoga, you know, the original, you know, the real meaning of that word guru is not a person that teaches you so much as whatever it is that brings you from darkness, guru, to light, ru. A guru is anything that brings you from darkness to light. Your best guru is yourself, but Spirit also, you know, is available, and just the knowledge that you can have the presence to avail yourself of the divine grace that can allow you to have gratitude in the midst of it all. You know, and it, you know, it, with just a little bit of work, it's a cheap thrill. Just, you know, get up in the morning and remind yourself of the things you're grateful for, or write a gratitude journal, or, you know, all those little tricks of the trade that we all know about and hardly ever do. Yeah. Okay. Last little thing I want to mention, then I'm going to stop. So, in that little newspaper I was telling you about, that music newspaper, there's a guy in town named Peter Boland. Anybody ever heard of him? He's a great singer-songwriter, really good guitar player. He's a philosophy professor at Southwestern College. He's really very, very politically minded. He's got a lot of things to say about stuff. But I want to read you what he wrote that kind of said, oh, yeah, I should do that. He says, when you wake up in the morning, say thank you. Say thank you as you drift off to sleep. Say thank you between tasks. Say thank you in the middle of everything. Make thank you your mantra. It doesn't matter who you're saying it to. Simply be in the consciousness of thank you. We do not say thank you to appease or acknowledge some higher power. The higher power isn't a needy parent. We say thank you to open our hearts and minds to the truth that we did not create this. We receive this. Our lives, these hands, this passion, this beauty, this support, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the love we rely on, we live in the holy thank you. When you do this, you turn the key that unlocks wisdom, wellness, and bliss. That's what gratitude does for you. All right, that's enough. Thank you. I like cheap thrills. I should do this gratitude thing sometime, huh? Remind me.